Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
Well, I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you are welcome to do that. Let me just take a quick look. We don't have Craig Haggard back with us. He is on his way home from China. He might be home, but he didn't get a report done. He may be with us tomorrow. We'll see. But anyway, let me just give you a little bit of an update. I talked already about oil. Listen to this. West Texas Intermediate, 58.82. Yes, I said 58.82. Oil is getting clobbered right now. And before I go any further, I really need to try to get a handle on exactly what is going on. We know that there is a major, major concern about demand, and that demand is going to obviously be a problem. China is working themselves into a depression, not a recession. They should be so lucky to have a recession. They're working themselves into a depression. So oil prices dropping in a very big way. When we're looking at not only West Texas Intermediate, Brent is now down 4.25%. Brent crude oil is down 3.5%. That is dramatic. They are below 70, 68.44. This is a problem. You've got, you know, OPEC agreeing that they were going to hold production cuts until the end of the year. They may be rethinking that a little bit, or rethinking the fact of cutting production even more because crude oil is dropping like a rock. Now, maybe it's going to be time to see if the U.S. begins to think about dropping prices. I mean, dropping production, I'm sorry. They may have to think seriously about cutting production. And I know they don't want to do that. I don't really want them to do that because there's other reasons why they need to keep production high because of exports. That certainly enters into it. But right now, when we look at gasoline prices, I don't know if you'll remember this, but on Monday, gasoline prices were $2.88, or Friday, I'm sorry, $2.88. Today, they're $2.84. Now, they were slightly up today over yesterday. Yesterday, they were $2.84.3. Today, they're $2.84.5. So they're up slightly. But on the month, they're still down below where they were a month ago. A month ago, they were $2.84.9. They're $2.84.5. So gasoline prices are holding their own. But look, these oil prices are obviously going to negatively impact your oil stocks, right? Your oil stocks have to be dropping. If they haven't yet, they will. And it should be helping their refinery stocks. And it will at some certain point in time. But refineries could be suffering right now from a glut. I don't know where the EIA numbers came in yesterday. I never even looked today because I lost track of what day it was. But I'm going to have to look at that and see where they are and see how that plays into it. I haven't done that yet. But anyway, crude oil prices down over 4.25% at 58.80. 58.80. This has become a very volatile market, to say the least. Copper is down only 0.5%, but it's been getting beat up now for 2 weeks. So maybe it's finding a little bit of a balance here. Industrial metals all in negative territory. The ag commodities still continue to be up in dramatic fashion. But look, this is mostly weather related. You see the storms, the tornadoes, the flooding around the country. This is either doing one or two things. It's either preventing planting from getting done, or planting has been done and it's gone now. So it looks like this could be weighing on supply possibly come this fall. And so this is a weather-related uptick that we shouldn't get too awfully excited about. We have an awful lot of work to do to get it on a consistent basis. But corn is up 1%. We're looking at wheat is up 1 2/3, I'll say. Cotton is up 1.25. Live cattle up 0.5% right now. Feeder, I missed it. Okay. So let me get back to, I clicked a wrong thing here. But so soybean is negative by about 0.5% right now. That's primarily due to China stresses and strains and issues. Cotton, I told you about. Lumber is up finally. That has been dropping. Live cattle down live cattle up 0.5%. Feeder cattle up 0.3%. Lean hog down 1.5%. I was talking earlier about Hormel putting out forward guidance, saying that one of the reasons why their forward guidance was down was all their product line doing okay, but they're concerned about pork prices and volatility in pork for the rest of the year, and that caused their guidance, second quarter guidance, to drop a bit because of porks. Here we see lean hog down 1.5%. That's a pretty significant move. All right, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Mike. Mike's calling us from Texas. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Hey, really enjoy the ministry. Boy, has it been a blessing in our lives, and just love the work you do.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate that.
Hey, I had a question on CD34.
Yes.
It's not on your buy list currently.
Right.
I'm down in it pretty good, and I'm thinking it might be a time to buy to dollar cost down. What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, so have you ever dollar cost averaged down on it?
I have. I've chased it a little bit,
okay,
to be honest with you.
Okay, all right. Well, it's probably, we're at today, it's at a new 52-week low. So it dropped, at the open pretty significantly. And I didn't talk about the commodity, but I was obviously just in the commodities. So I looked at it, and I see that it's up today as a commodity. But I think that, and they control most of that commodity, by the way. So, listen, this is strictly a function of global slowdown. This is far more about the Eurozone, Asia, than it is about America. But America, too, has been getting hit. I would probably wait a little bit, see if it goes a little bit lower, try to dollar cost average down again on the way up when we start to see an uptick, movement up.
Ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general
welfare and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533. Well, one of the reasons why we're seeing oil prices tank so much were inventory numbers, for sure. You got EIA. Now, I didn't see the rig count. I don't know what's going on with the rig count. I'm not going to know that, really. No sense in looking at that until Monday. But the rig count, I suspect, is holding where it is. I hope they don't add any more rigs this week, but we'll see on Monday. But crude oil inventories up 4.7 million barrels. This is the third week in a row that has been up significantly. Gasoline prices up again. This is the second week up significantly, 3.7 million barrels of gasoline, and other distilled products up about 800,000 barrels. So we're looking at a considerable move in all of those. It would appear that a couple things are happening. I don't believe it's demand on gasoline. I don't think that really has changed. We're not seeing a drop in demand. I doubt very seriously that there is a drop that would be weighing on this at all. Gasoline or weighing on the inventory numbers being up. I just think that refineries are all back up on line after their changeover from winter to summer gasoline. So they're all back up. They're probably running at full capacity. That's had a lot to do with it. If that is the case and they continue to replenish the gas supply, that means they're pulling down on the crude oil, yet they're pulling down on crude oil to do that at the very same time the crude oil inventories continue to go up, which tells us that we might have some production issues on the upside that we might have to address. And that may be the bigger problem, because you've got refineries increasing distilled products. So jet fuel, diesel fuel, kerosene, you know, a couple other things, all increasing in inventories. And then you got automobile gasoline up 3.7 million barrels. So it looks like, again, we have supply that is more than keeping up with demand. And so we don't have much balance here. And it would stand to reason that crude oil prices would be dropping in price right now. But it's because of what happened as they were producing to fill this. But somewhere in the globe, in the world, there's a demand problem in crude oil. And I guess it's all China. That certainly has dramatically impacted this. But what's got to happen here now is the U.S. is going to have to pick up for some of that demand, some of that. They're going to have to pick up for the loss of some of that demand by dropping some of their productivity or production. The upside to this is we've got to see gasoline prices start to come down. And I would be shocked if this weekend we aren't seeing some lower prices than we have right now, right at this moment. I would be shocked if that weren't the case. So we don't have a problem with supply. We don't have a problem with supply at all. But we do have issues in balance that demand needs to pick up dramatically so that we can eat up some of that supply and we can maintain some kind of balance in prices. So that's where we are. That's one of the reasons why we're seeing what we're seeing. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Bethany from Alabama. Hey, Bethany.
It's actually Stephanie, but good morning.
Okay. Hi, Stephanie.
Hello. I have a question for my mom. She is 79 years old, and my dad died back in September, and he used to deal with all the finances, although I don't know that he had a whole lot of knowledge about it either. And they just kind of entrusted a Christian friend who's in the business to do what they do. He has just put her in a Jackson annuity, $300,000. She has until June the 5th to get out. She took it to her accountant this week, too, when I said, oh, no, Dan says don't do annuities. She took it to her accountant, and he agreed that he doesn't like annuities either. And he had heard this guy on the radio that doesn't like them either, so we assume it was you. she has until June the 5th to get out, but so she's going to take it back, you know, to her financial guy and say, you know, I want out. What does she need to tell him where to put it? This particular one has some kind of a death benefit that he made it sound like it would be good because, you know, it could go to me and my brother. I'm not concerned about that. I just want her in the right thing.
So did she do it for any other reason? I mean, does she need...
She didn't even know he was doing it.
Yeah.
He just manages it and moves it, and she said he moves stuff all the time doing whatever, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she definitely doesn't want to do it. She needs to make sure she doesn't sign anything or get out, but she has to notify, and I would be very, very cautious. You know, I know she trusts this guy, and I know all that. I don't have a lot of faith in him because he did this without even knowing what she was doing. So I have no faith in him. Might be a nice guy, but I don't have any faith in him. So she needs to call. You need to call for her. She needs to call the 800 number. She just received a policy. She has 30 days to accept it. In that policy that she received, there's a piece of paper that she can sign to get out of this and mail it in. So yes, she should do that. Read that. It's just a very short little paragraph on that piece of paper. Okay. That should be in the policy. Now, hopefully, the policy wasn't delivered by the agent, that it came to her through the mail.
It did come through the mail.
Okay, so that paper is in there, and she needs to do that. But it's too close in time to the number, to the drop dead date. I would call there as well, and there's an 800, not the agent, but I would call the company and say that she needs to say, I do not want this. I've changed my mind. So make sure she does that as well. It would be great, maybe you can help her if she needs the help, to document that in an email to the company, to customer service or whoever it might need to go to. They may allow her that form. They may allow her to fax that to them. She can sign and fax it to them. But look through the policy that she received, somewhere there's a single piece of paper that gives her the right to sign and say she doesn't want this policy. So she can send that to them certified mail if they don't accept the fax, but she needs to take care of it. Then she can talk to the agent all she wants, but I wouldn't talk to the agent until after she's done this. And I don't know... I think that if she doesn't need it for income, how old is she, Stephanie?
She's 79.
Yeah, so if she doesn't need for the income, I think she should at least have kind of a preservation of principle mindset. And I don't know that I would be willing to get into too much of anything risky. I would put $100,000 into a couple individual good utility stocks maybe. Something low volatility, maybe a Ginnie Mae fund, but he's not going to be able to do the individual stocks in all likelihood. So he'll talk her out of that. But that may be okay because she'll get some growth as a result of the income that it produces. And she may also get some growth in the value of the stock. And I would be okay with doing that for maybe $100,000 of it. The other $200,000, I would ladder out CDs. I would start at a two-year CD. I would go to a 2.5 to a 3-year, and maybe even a 3.5. And in 2 years, every 6 months, she'll have a CD due. And every 6 months, she can renew that for another two-year CD. The only reason that would change is if we start getting into a rising interest rate environment, which, frankly, I don't see happening for a while. So I would do that with the balance of it. She's not going to make a lot of money, but she's going to preserve the principal, and she's going to have it available to her if she needs it.
Okay. All right. Wow.
I know.
And there's another annuity that he already had them in, and it may be mature by now. So if she needs to get out of that one too, which is what I told her to do, should she use the same kind of plan to put towards the CDs or something. I don't know how much is in that. She doesn't either.
Yeah, same plan. I mean, okay. She listen, it's important at her age that her money is totally liquid. There's no surrender charges. So every time you go into a new annuity, you start the surrender charge clock start ticking over again. So,
right.
It doesn't make it illiquid. It's not like you can't get the money, but you're going to pay a fair amount to get your own money. So I would, I just wouldn't do it. It's just not the right thing to do. It isn't the right thing to do. So I would stay away from them and do the same strategy. Just preserve. You know what? Somebody worked awfully hard, or your dad, or maybe it was her where she worked, but, you know, to develop this money. And, you know, if she doesn't need it, that's great. But she ought to want to preserve it and need to preserve it for if she ever does need it, and or for her heirs that can benefit by it. So, I would get it.
If she's afraid of, or if he can't do the utility stocks and she doesn't, I mean, I live out of town and my brother's, he's in town, but he's terribly busy with his kids and whatever. So if, and he's not into all this anyway, if she's afraid of doing the utility stocks on her own or starting an account of her own or whatever, and he can't do it, is there anything that should she just do that with the CDs too and just not worry about the utility?
I mean, if he can't do it, which I suspect he can't, but you can ask the question, but I suspect he can't or won't, even if he can. Okay. But so I would just put him in CDs, or you know, I can give her somebody to call, but she's probably not going to be comfortable with that. So I would just do the CD strategy.
All right. Well, I may contact you again and get the who to call, because she might be okay with that. But anyway,
okay.
I appreciate your help.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bethany.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye.
God bless. Folks, we'll be right back. 844-707-5533. We'll be back after this. Welcome back. Financial Issues. I'm Dan Celia, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Michael. Michael's calling us from Alabama. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Dan. I want to thank you for your ministry. You've really given me a heart to invest biblically responsibly. And I also want to let you know that I'm so grateful for you financially discipling us.
Mm. Thank you for that, Michael. I appreciate that, and you're welcome.
I have a question about consumer discretionary 28, CD 28.
Okay.
I'm down quite a bit now in that. I'm 33 years old. I'm not worried about it. I'm in it for the long term. I'm just wondering if it's a good time to dollar cost average down, or should I wait until it comes back around?
Yeah, we've got to wait for it to come back around. That's another one I've been doing a lot of work with. And I tell you the truth, I thought this week was going to be the week, but obviously not. So... I would, you know, I'd hang in there. I think what you want to look for, Michael, is what I say often is that 30-day positive movement. That doesn't mean it's up every day for 30 days, but if you look at, if you click on a chart for 30-day chart and you look at that 30-day chart, it's either going to be positive or negative. And if it's, when that 30-day chart's turns positive, it's still going to be likely well below what you paid for it. And that would be the time to dollar cost average in. This is a stock that value investors are going to be watching very closely and start looking at. The problem with it is with some of those value investors, and by the way, this is a stock that is, you know, widely held by institutions. And I'm looking for the number. That's why I'm hesitant. 97% of this stock is held by institutions. So that's always a good sign. That's always a good thing. So when you see that many involved in it, when that turn begins to happen, and it does start to come turn around, there are going to be a whole lot of institutional money that is going to be dollar cost averaging down on this as well. So, and you know, that's going to kind of continue the move, some forward momentum. This is a stock that has been hurt by trade. There's no doubt about it. And I suspect they are working hard, from what I can tell, to get their feet under. They do a big business in the Eurozone, which, you know, global growth, and Asia, you know, the Pacific Rim, and South America. So all of that has certainly hurt them a bit. But I really feel good about their Eastern European nations and their Northern European nations. So the Netherlands, I feel real good about. And then you look at the Czech Republic and Romania and Poland and areas like that, where they have a very good presence. I think they're going to be fine as the global economy comes around. And if you're a long-term young person like you are, a long-term holder, man, this could be a really good piece of business to own once you get a chance to dollar cost average for the long term.
All right. Thank you, Dan. And I just want everybody to know that I'm up overall. It's just I'm just down just in this one particular stock. So thank you for your
You're welcome. Insight. Good to hear, Michael. It's great to hear you and so many others that are getting a whole handle on their stewardship and so committed for Christ. And it is such a blessing. So thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Let me go to Dan. Dan's calling us from Indiana. Hey, Dan.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I called you last week with the same question I'm going to ask now, and I'm getting down to crunch time. I'm 60. I'll be 61 in a couple months, and I've already put in for my retirement with my company. And the question is, you know, I have an option of a lump sum option or a company pension. Mm-hmm. You probably remember me now.
But, yeah.
the last time I talked to you, I've talked to you twice before about this, and the first time you were like real like borderline on which one, and you said the lump sum.
Uh-huh.
And then the last time was last week I talked to you, because I'm kind of one of those guys that just can't make up their mind on something like this, and I'm just looking for you for help. But I'm just still wondering about the lump sum and pension option. And I've heard you talk a lot about permanent income and how we need to shore that up. And I don't know if you want me to give you some numbers or something, but, you know, money numbers.
What else do you have besides this? Do you have anything else? Do you have a 401k?
Yeah, I've got a 401k. And then next year I'll be able to draw Social Security. Uh-huh. But I've got my lump sum is around $630,000, mm-hmm. and my 401k is like $130,000, mm-hmm. and I'm just up in the air about it. And I've been just thinking about this because I only get one shot at it.
Yeah.
And my retirement guy, they're from Raymond James, and I like him. And
well, I know what they're telling you, but
okay. Yeah.
They're telling you to take the lump sum. I'm sure of that,
right.
But
yeah.
So what's the monthly payout going to be if you take the pension?
The pension is like $250 more a month than what my lump sum guy wants to do. So it's like around $3,000 for the pension a month, and then it's like $2,750 for the lump sum. And the pension is $3,000, the lump sum is $2,750 a month.
Yeah, so the pension is, you know, about, I don't know, somewhere in the 6% range. And the question you need to ask yourself, are you going to make 6% on your money every year for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
And that's the question. I mean, you're going to have some bad years. And the problem with the bad years is not that you're going to have bad years. The problem with the bad years is you're still going to be taking your income. And so whenever you are drawing upon the the money on a very consistent, regular basis. And the younger you are, and you're pretty young, I would say you're very young. And so you're going to be statistically, you're going to be around once you get over 60. Chances are, you're going to be drawing on this for a very, very long time. And when the market goes down, let's say it happens today, and the S&P is down 3% for this month, and you're taking your draw this month, and your draw is 6% or 5%, and you're down 3%, so you're drawing that whatever 5% divided by 12 is, you're drawing that out, and you're going to be forced to sell something, maybe at a loss, in order to get that cash position. It's going to depend on how you're being managed, but nonetheless, eventually that's what's going to happen in a down market. And you'll never recover that. You're never going to recover that. Now, in the good years, you're going to be up 14%. You're only drawing 6. And yes, you will recover some of it, but the more bad years you have, eventually, and this is when you're young, it's a problem, because you're going to live through more bad years than somebody that was 70 doing this. So, the question is, are you going to have the same amount of money in 20 years to draw that 6% or whatever it might be? And that's what you have to think about. You don't want to outlive your money. Now, you can combine the two. If you combine your 130 and your lump sum, and now you got $760, and you have a really, really well thought out plan. I mean, a plan that is managed, not managed perfectly, because you shouldn't have to manage it, but has some really well thought out positions in it. And let's say those positions are generating, 6% or so, you're going to do well. And you should easily be able to get, $3,000 to $3,800 a month out of the account. And if you're fortunate and you take this 760 and you don't need 6%, maybe 4% on 760 is good enough, then you should be able to easily get the 4% and still have growth in the account. Now you're in really good shape, and that would be a good thing to do. What's going to happen, or could very likely happen, is it's all going to be based on the kind of portfolio you have and how it's being managed. So if somebody develops an income portfolio that is not such a good income portfolio, you got things in there that are volatile, things that are not real strong, and so on and so forth, none of that's going to help, and it's going to make things worse, and you're going to be wishing you took the pension. So it's really hard. I can't speak for what another advisor is going to do. I can speak to what is the right thing to do, in my opinion, but that's all I can do when it comes to managing the plan. So it's the old story, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush, right? Well, the money you're going to get out of 630, what that is. It's not going to change. And, if that's more than what you need to live off of.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call up, you're welcome to do it. 844-707-5533. And we'll take your call. By the way, we got another hour and 10 minutes left. So make sure we have two lines open. Make sure you get your call queued up. Let me go to David. David's calling us from Arkansas. Hey, David.
Hey, good evening, or good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is similar to the last gentleman's. I'm on the brink of retirement, and I have three different options with which I can take my monthly benefit.
Mm-hmm.
One is a straight check, and if I die, then nobody gets anything. Option A is a 16% cut, and if I were to pass away, my wife would continue to get that portion. The second portion is only a 6% cut, and then if I should pass away, she would continue to get 50% of my benefits. And we're kind of in a quandary about which path to go here. We're both fairly young and reasonable health, so just, you know, not knowing which way to go here.
Yeah, I would always elect to take one of the spousal options for certain.
Okay.
Now, it really depends on what would happen, and we don't like to think through these in great detail, but nonetheless, you and I are going to go first. That's just statistically the way it is.
Right.
So if that happens, is your wife going to be taken care of? In other words, maybe she has her own 401k, maybe she has other income, maybe your debt is such, or she would be in a different place where her expenses would be down dramatically, maybe even sell and go downside, whatever. But take a look at what that might look like and say, boy, you know, chances are with her Social Security or my Social Security now and this 50% of this pension and the other things that we have, she would be fine. And if that's the case, then you would take the 50% option. I would just look at it like that. You got to do one option or the other, the 100% or the 50% option. But I would not take the single life option. So,
right.
You know, that you really just try to examine that, go through that in your mind. If, what might that look like? So
all right.
That's the only way to do it. And I think, but I never like to see anybody not take the spousal option. It really, it bothers me on two fronts. One is somebody's got to get some money after you're gone because you want to get as much money out of it as you can, obviously. Put a lot of money into it. You don't want to just give it back to the insurance company, which by then it will be an insurance company that'll have that, that'll buy that. Annuity. So, but that's how you got to look at it. You kind of have to look backward, go backwards, start from, what that end would be like and see how the numbers work out.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your call. Take my call. Thank you.
All right, David. Thank you. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Tina. Tina calling us from Texas. Hey, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
My question is I had to roll my 401 out of my company since I got let go.
Uh-huh.
And I took it to J.P. Morgan Chase Bank, and I put $30,000 into an annually annuity, and then I got $15,000 in their J.P. Morgan stock. And then I wanted to find out, what should I do about that annuity, annual annuity, because it's not doing anything for a year. It just sits there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that you ought to, are you still working somewhere else?
No, I'm not working.
Are you going to go back to work or you don't know yet?
Yeah, I probably will go back to work. Yes, I'm on unemployment right now.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think that I would leave it alone just in case you get another job with a 401k, and it might be beneficial for you to roll this over into that 401k, so you have things all in one place. But I certainly would do something about that annuity. I expect it's in some sort of a money market account inside of that. That's some sort of annualized annuity. So I wouldn't continue to do that. I would try to get it into the market in some way, shape, or form, either some more stocks, different stocks, maybe even cut back on how much you have in the J.P. Morgan stock, and look at some other diversification ideas.
So should I leave it in there?
Leave it in where?
It's American National Insurance, I think, is what.
I mean I wouldn't leave it in the annuity. I would make it so that you can get some of that invested in other things, some maybe individual stocks or ETF, or something like that. There's a ETF that is like a mutual fund that is a Timothy dividend producing ETF. That might be a way to go. I don't like any kinds of ETFs or mutual funds where you're not contributing to on a regular basis. And this wouldn't be like that. You wouldn't be able to contribute to it. I would leave it where it is if you're only going to leave it where it is for a year. See what kind of other job you get, and then make a change. And that might be an okay thing to do.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. 844-707-5533. If you want to queue your call, you can do it. 844-707-5533. Don't forget us on Facebook, our phone app, if you're watching live on the computer at financialissues.org, there's a chat side of things there that you can put your question on. So we're getting an awful lot of questions that way through that and Facebook. So you're welcome. You're welcome to do that. Let's see. Timothy is just saying from Facebook, Dan, our deepest condolences and prayers for your family watching. Thank you for that. I was talking a little bit earlier, folks, about my wife's brother passing. So thank you for that. And Timothy's just thanking us for the peace in this season of our life here and the markets that we might bring. And thank you for that. And he says, happy birthday to Yvonne. And sure appreciate your encouragement, all your encouraging words in that, Timothy. And I share that with Yvonne as well. So thank you for that. Timothy's in Ohio, and I appreciate your encouragement there and your love for the work that God's let us continue to do. Sure do appreciate that. Thank you so much. Byron on the website here is asking, Dan, hope the Lord blesses you. CS47, and do you think it has potential for downside? Well, there isn't a stock in the world, Byron, that doesn't have potential for the downside. So, yes, it does. So that goes without saying. And are you still thinking that IN27 will bump down to, a reasonable price? It sure looks like it will get down to that price that I've been talking about here for a while. It was down there at one point in time on Monday, or very close to it. It has come back up, still very negative on the year. It may have bottomed out here, but if you're waiting, I think this is a great time to buy into it. And if this is well below what you paid for it, I would dollar cost average right here where it is. And if it goes down, so be it. Don't worry about it. Don't dollar cost average down. Leave it go. But certainly, I think we could see it yet. But we'll see. We'll see. It's been relatively quiet, although most people in reference to China are a little bit negative and feeling negative about the notion that we could have a trade deal soon. I'm still pretty optimistic. I think we'll have a trade deal relatively soon. I'm waiting for the G20 meeting, to make a decision on my optimism being sustained here for the rest of the summer. Folks, if you got to leave us, we sure appreciate you being with us. Thank you. Of course, tomorrow's Rapid Fire Friday. Hope you'll be with us. We've got another hour of the program here. We're going to take your calls. We hope you'll stay with us. We also had some information come out, some economic data. I'll give that at the top of this hour as soon as we get back off this break. But if you have to leave us, remember all that you have is his. Let's be a good and faithful steward. I hope you have a wonderful day today. We pray that you are in an area where the weather isn't bad, and we lift up all those families that have gone through some of the tragedies that we are hearing about on the news with these tornadoes. Have a great day. More financial issues right after this.